If you could take your Bible and turn with me to John chapter 9. Take your Bible and turn with me to John chapter 9. Chapter 9 is where we're going to be starting. My name is Pastor Johnny Kajir. I've been the pastor of student ministries here at Faith Church. I've been married to my beautiful wife, Tori, and we have four kids. I want to just tell you a little bit about why I'm passionate about the topic we're going to be talking about tonight. And let me just kind of go through that. I became passionate about this particular topic and this part of the work that I'm doing to try to help establish or help our church expand upon our special needs ministry that we have here at our church. And I want to kind of just lay out some of the reasons why I'm passionate about that. First of all, there was a family that attended our church that had gone to our church for quite some time that was very dear to me. I loved that family dearly. They had some children that had special needs, and as a result of not feeling like they could find a ministry that worked suitably with them and with their schedule, they ended up leaving our church to go somewhere else. They didn't find another church in town that had a better special needs ministry. They just elected to go to a smaller church where they felt like they could just sit with their kids and take care of them themselves, and that was how they were going to go about doing worship every Sunday. Another family within our church has struggled with being able to connect with others in the church because there were so many complications with dealing with their own children who had special needs. And so they felt like there was never a point in time where they could build relationship with other folks that were within our church because they were so busy caring for their own kids. They still attend our church, and that's one of their concerns. A family member of mine was attending church here and had to stop coming on Sundays because he has two children that require full-time monitoring due to their autism. And so as a result of that, he began to realize that he needed to be the one watching them, and it was impossible for him to watch them in the setting that was church. And so that became a difficult situation. Then my own son was having a hard time with some basic social skills. And so when he was in kindergarten, we began to wonder if something was going on, and we took him in for some testing and discovered that he's a high-functioning, autistic young man. Okay, so that's some of the reason why I care about this topic. I'm very passionate about it. I care about it. I have so much passion for these individuals who are impacted by special needs, so those who have special needs, but I'm also very passionate and care very much for the families that are surrounding those who have special needs, moms and dads who are tired, moms and dads who are doing tons of work in a constant state of trying to figure out how to best care for their dependents. I'm currently completing my Doctor of Ministries degree from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, and my final project is this: to produce a practical plan for expanding and developing a ministry to those who have disabilities, that have dependents with disabilities, and those who work with those who have disabilities. So my goal in this is this: not just to create another Sunday school class. My goal is not just to create an aid system. Okay, we have those things in place already. But how can we truly care for each and every individual who is involved in this scenario? How can we care? How can the church be a place where those who have special needs feel especially loved and cared for with a love like only those who love Christ can show them? Not just as a person who is an inconvenience to the normal programming, but as somebody who is truly cared for because God loves them. So how can we build that sort of ministry? How can we build a ministry that is helpful to the parents who have dependents with special needs or disabilities? How can we help them? Many parents are tired. One of the leading demographics of marriages that end up in divorce are those who have dependents with special needs. It is exhausting. So how do we care for them? Have you ever even thought about this? We're at a counseling conference. If you're the parent of a dependent with special needs, how do you even get free time to go to counseling for your marriage? That's a question that many have to think about. And then lastly, how can we do a ministry to those who care for those who have special needs? How can the church be the one that's speaking into how to do special needs within our community? It's enough of letting psychology tell them how to go about handling this. What if the church got into that realm and started really speaking into this? And so as I began to do some digging into this and began doing some research into trying to find out the best ways to go about this and trying to find the best resources, I've discovered there is a major lacking for resources on this very topic. particularly from those who are from theological sound backgrounds. There's just not a whole lot. There's a whole lot of folks who have stuff to say about how to do practicals of perhaps a classroom to those with special needs, but what about doing actual ministry and actually understanding it? So here's how I'm approaching this and how we're going to dive into this. Today, first of all, I want to talk about the theological framework we need to build in order to understand the need for us to consider this within our churches. Okay, and then I want to end our time by just kind of talking practically about some of the ways that you can begin to implement some of this and be even asking the questions and finding out the ways that you can best be helping those that are within your church, right? Let's look at John chapter 9. I'm going to kind of read through this passage slowly, and I want to give credit where credit is due on this. Shortly after I submitted my notes on this, I went to the ACBC conference, okay? So I went to the ACBC conference, and there was a breakout session that I went to that was taught by Paul Tachaus, which is he was the author of a book I recommend that you get. So write this book down, okay? When Disability Hits Home, okay? And it's an incredible book that helps you think through the process of this, okay? So I went to that particular session, and I was able to sit in, and he was teaching on this passage. He just gave it a little touch in the middle of his lesson there, but this passage really jumped out at me for a few reasons. And I want to show you these reasons, and then we'll dive into the stuff that's in your notes. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 first. And as he passed by, he saw a man that was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" And Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him." Now, you've probably read that passage a ton of times before. And I'm not sure that I've ever read that passage and gotten the takeaway from it that is so evident that is jumping out right there. Notice the question immediately that the disciples asked. What is the cause for this man's disability? Why is he struggling with being blind? What happened? Is it his parents' fault? Is it his own fault? I mean, it's like a child that just asks the blunt question, right? Like sometimes kids will just ask a question and there's like not a filter there to think through what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. That's kind of how they're reacting to this. Like they see a person who's blind, he's begging because he's blind, they see him, and their first initial reaction is, "Why is he blind?" That's the first place they go. Now, I want you to think about this. Their question implies that this person's state of existence is some sort of a mistake or some sort of a punishment for a sin that was committed. Now, is there some truth to that question? Yes, in a way. All suffering, all difficult situations are ultimately the result of living in a sin-cursed world, correct? That is why we have suffering. So there is some valid answer here. There is a valid question. However, there is not always a connection between suffering and sin. That's an important thing to know just generally with people who are suffering. There's not always a connection between suffering and sin. This seems to be difficult for the disciples to grasp. How can a person who is suffering not be in suffering because of someone's sin? But you know what's the bigger question that they're really asking here? Here's the bigger question. How could God let an innocent person suffer? That's really what they're asking. How in the world is God letting this poor man, who if nobody sinned, if nobody's responsible for this, how could God let this guy be suffering in this way? Well, Jesus' response in John chapter 9 is incredibly helpful for us. He says that this person is suffering for the sole purpose of God's work to be on display. What is the purpose for your life? To bring glory to God. right? That's the adult Sunday school answer to every question, right? To bring glory to God, right? When you're little kids, you just say Jesus. When you're adults, you say bring glory to God, right? That's why we all exist. We all exist for that purpose. Every single person. So when you encounter a person who's affected by disability, don't be overwhelmed by their condition or what led them to be in that position. Instead, be amazed at the work of God that's able to be on display. God has a plan here.